I don't know about you, but it seems most of the self-help gurus I stumble upon, they talk about letting go like it's just a weekend hobby or something. And they'll say it in that soft-spoken podcast voice, you just need to let go of attachment. As if detachment is something you can just order from Amazon. Free shipping comes with instant enlightenment and, of course, a scented candle. But nobody really tells you how to let go. Nobody tells you what to do when your mind is clinging to somebody like a cat on a screen door. Because, well, here's the truth. Detachment is not pretty. And it's not peaceful at first. Now, I'm sure, as many of you can attest, it feels like death. It's like emotional frostbite. Because your ego doesn't really want freedom. It wants ownership. And when you start to loosen that grip, the ego screams like a toddler dropping an ice cream cone. So I used to think detachment meant becoming one of those cold, unbothered people. You know, the ones who post stoic quotes over photos of icy mountain lakes. Don't chase, attract, protect your peace, etc. Translation. I've been hurt too many times, and now I'm emotionally constipated. And yes, I've been there too. Most of us have, right? And I thought detachment meant not caring. But that's not detachment. That's suppression. And it's not enlightenment. It's just trauma in yoga pants. Real detachment doesn't mean you stop loving. It means you stop using love as a drug. So I used to have what I would call a rather naive and, I guess, idealistic understanding of love. I mean, it's fair to say that most of us start out that way, right? I believed that love was just a feeling. And this feeling was supposed to last forever. And that's just the way it worked. It was a beautifully perfect emotional exchange. When really, I was just bartering with someone else's nervous system. Hey, I'll give you validation if you give me identity. And that's what we call, we call that romance. But actually, it's more like a hostage negotiation with flowers. You meet someone, they fill a void, you call it chemistry, and maybe you really do have some chemistry, but at some point in your life, you probably realized that chemistry doesn't mean compatibility. So what's typically really happening here? It's two people whose childhood traumas found each other sexy. And you cling to them because they're they effectively make the noise in your head go quiet for a while. That is until they don't. And then you start keeping score. They didn't text back in a timely manner. They didn't look at you the way they used to. You start making up stories in your head, and you start building invisible spreadsheets of their affection. And when the data trends down, you start to panic. That's the hidden problem with attachment. You stop seeing the person and you start seeing your reflection in them. They become your emotional stock portfolio. And you only feel rich if they love you back. But that's not connection. That's dependency wearing a cologne sample. But it makes sense why we do it, because we're all raised to believe that our happiness lives outside of us, in people, success, approval, and so on. And we learned that peace is something granted to us by others, not something we already contain. So we become like beggars in the marketplace of affection, hoping that someone will hand us the missing pieces of ourselves. But nobody can, of course, because they're all missing theirs too. So the first time I really tried to practice detachment was after a breakup that felt like a small apocalypse to me. And maybe you know the kind, where you scroll through old messages like they're sacred scripture or something. Every song sounds like it's mocking you personally. And you start philosophizing in the shower like a deranged monk. And you're probably also going through the some version of the five stages of grief. Denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and finally, acceptance. So I tried every spiritual bypass in the book, mainly meditation and journaling, pretending I was fine. But in truth, I was just trying to spiritually manipulate reality into giving me what I wanted back. And then one night, I sat there in silence, no music, no distractions of any kind. And I realized I didn't actually miss my ex. It wasn't even really about her. I missed the version of me that existed when she loved me. That took me a long time to figure that out. When I was going through a period of what I call ego death. And that's what attachment does. It tricks you into thinking you love someone, when often you love the feeling of being chosen. And I get it. It's understandable. Who doesn't love being the chosen one? But unfortunately, that's not love. That's ego rehab. And, you know, it took me years to understand that detachment isn't always about pushing people away. It's about not dragging them into your psychological basement and chaining them to your happiness. When we're attached, we don't actually relate to people. We consume them. And we use them like emotional ibuprofen. And when they stop working, we resent them for not healing our headache. Now, that's why so many relationships die slow, painful deaths. It's not really from lack of love, but from excess of ownership. You want them to act a certain way and say the right things. You want them to love you the right amount, but that's not real love. That's more like customer service. People say love hurts. We hear that all the time. But I don't think it's the love that hurts. It's the attachment. It's the expectations and illusions that hurt. I think love itself, real love, is just awareness. There's no transaction. It's just a presence. And you don't have to protect it because it doesn't depend on anything outside of you. But no, it turns out we don't like that version of love. We prefer the cinematic one, you know, the Hollywood version with emotional volatility and swelling music. The kind that gives you that adrenaline rush with a hint of melodrama, not inner peace. So we want possession, not partnership. And we want to own someone's affection like it's a piece of real estate. And when they change, when they grow, they start wanting different things. Well, then we call that betrayal. When really, it's just life doing what life always does, change. Everything in this world is temporary. And we keep trying to build permanent happiness on a temporary foundation. It's kind of like trying to nail Jell-O to a wall and then blaming the Jell-O for being emotionally unavailable. So we cling because we fear loss, but the clinging creates loss. And the tighter you hold on, the faster it slips through your fingers. But we do it anyway, because the human brain is a masochist. It's a more or less addicted to chasing things it can't control. And I mean, let's face it, that the illusion is comforting. If I hold on tight enough, this won't leave me. But the truth is brutal, because everything leaves eventually. And the only thing worse than losing something is wasting your life pretending you won't. Now, I'm not saying you should become some detached monk living on a mountain, sipping herbal tea and saying cryptic things like, "We are all one." Though that doesn't sound half bad to me. You're human, and you're going to get attached. We all do. You'll fall in and out of love, and you'll grieve, And sometimes you'll grieve while you're still in love. And that's just part of the whole curriculum. Life wants you to get attached. And biologically, Mother Nature wants you to get attached. But that's besides the point I'm trying to make. Because attachment is how you learn where your illusions live. Every heartbreak is like a teacher with bad breath. And every disappointment is like a mirror that shows you where you outsourced your peace. But the goal here isn't to avoid relationships. That's not what I'm saying. It's to see them more clearly and to engage fully, but without the leash of expectation and without the ego trying to control everything. That's detachment. It's not a wall and it's not apathy. It's just awareness without ownership. Think of it like holding a bird. If you grip too tight, you kill it. If you hold it gently, well, it might stay. But if it flies away, your peace doesn't have to leave with it. That's love without a leash. But we don't want gentle love, do we? We want guarantees and promises, and we want contracts, basically disguised as romance. And we call them vows, but they're really just long-term fear management plans. And of course, we promise to stay till death do us part. But even death is just another form of detachment. It's the final reminder that you never owned anything here, not even your body. And I think that's the uncomfortable beauty of it. You can't truly love something you're afraid to lose. Because, and this is important, fear and love can't occupy the same space. It's literally dysfunctional. And, you know, if your love depends on control, it's not really love. It's, at best, insurance. And life doesn't honor insurance policies. They honor surrender. And besides, insurance is a scam anyway. That's what detachment really is. It's not withdrawal, but surrender. It's not apathy. It's acceptance. I think it's looking at life and saying, I don't need it to be permanent to be beautiful. And I think that's real maturity. When you can love something fully and still let it go gracefully when it changes form. And look, eventually it will change form, sooner or later. I think it's a little odd, but we think detachment makes us lonely, when it actually makes us more connected. Because when you stop trying to get from people, you finally have space to actually see them. And you stop editing them to fit your fantasy. You stop needing them to validate your script. And at some point, you start relating to them as they are, not as your mind wants them to be. To me, That's real intimacy. When projection dissolves into presence. So, there's this myth that spiritual people are detached because they're above emotion or something. But I don't think that's true. I think they've just been crushed by enough of them to know emotions aren't the enemy. Clinging to them is. You don't have to suppress what you feel. You just have to stop believing that every emotion is a command. So, you can feel jealousy without acting on it. And you can feel fear without obeying it. And you can feel love without trying to own it. That's detachment in practice. It's emotion without possession and presence without control. Now, the irony is, once you stop clinging, you can love deeper. Because you're no longer loving through fear. You're loving through freedom. And you're not saying, don't ever leave me. You're saying, even if you do leave me, I'll still be whole. And that's terrifying at first. But it's also the only real way to experience peace. When you expect less, you notice more. And when you need less, you feel more. And believe it or not, when you cling less, you connect more. And you realize love isn't supposed to complete you. You're already complete. It's supposed to remind you that you were never incomplete to begin with. So, in the end, detachment isn't about rejecting life. It's about embracing it fully while knowing it's all fleeting. And instead of escaping the world, you wake up inside of it. It doesn't mean you stop caring. You just stop clutching. And ultimately, you don't stop loving. You stop demanding that love obey your conditions. That's not cold. It's clarity. And I think once you taste that kind of freedom, if you can get there, you'll never want to go back to love with chains on it. Well, unless that's just your kink, of course. Because once you realize you don't need to possess love to feel it, you start seeing it everywhere. In people, in moments, in silence, in loss. And you stop begging for it because you finally remember it was never gone. You don't have to stop loving to be free. You just have to stop confusing love with ownership. Let people come and go. I'm fully aware that this is a lot easier said than done. Nonetheless, let moments rise and fall because nothing real can be lost, only returned. And detachment isn't the death of feeling. It's really the beginning of peace. You know, detachment gets this bad reputation. People think it means you stop caring. Like you're supposed to turn into this emotionless monk who just shrugs when your life burns down around you. But honestly, Detachment isn't about not caring. It's about finally caring minus the nervous breakdown. You start to actually notice life again. Small things, you know, like the sound of rain on your roof, the smell of cheap coffee at 2 a.m. This is the way, I don't know, the way sunlight hits your kitchen counter like it's auditioning for a perfume commercial or something. And you start realizing that half the things you were chasing, relationships, validation, purpose and meaning, were just creative ways of avoiding sitting quietly in your own company. And the more you stop trying to make life what you want it to be, the more beautiful it gets in what it is, which is messy and chaotic, uneven, intermittently depressing and tragic, but authentic and honest. And I'll take honest over manifested any day. You ever notice how every spiritual quote sounds amazing until you actually have to try to live it? Just let go. Trust the universe. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Yeah, usually because someone else screwed up. And we say we want to be present, but presence only hits you when you realize everything you love is on a timer. That's why funerals hit harder than vacations. One reminds you you're temporary, the other sells you margaritas in denial. And that's the paradox of detachment. It's not really numbness. It's actually feeling more. Because when you're not clutching at life, you finally get to hold it, maybe even caress it a little. You stop hoarding moments like a doomsday prepper, and you start actually being in them. And when you cling on to something, You're not really seeing it anymore. You start managing it, measuring it, trying to control it, manipulate it, like love is a stock portfolio that might crash if you don't check it every 10 minutes. And that's basically how most people treat each other now. Romance has become like emotional day trading. But here's the cruel part. When you stop trying to control life, you realize how little control you ever really had in the first place. And that's the part everyone skips over in the self-help books, the existential fine print. Because the truth is, you're not supposed to fix yourself. You're not broken. You're just alive. And alive in our natural state is messy and chaotic. It's at best, it's unstable. You know, you're not a project or a brand, and you're not a bundle of habits to optimize. You're just this weird, temporary consciousness trying to make sense of a planet that sells scented candles called peaceful anxiety. And, you know, maybe that's the real tragedy here. Not that people are empty, but that they're terrified of emptiness. They'd rather fill it with a bunch of noise or vapid goals with someone else's approval. And we've turned staying busy into a religion, and the Holy Sacrament is burnout. I mean, have you noticed how nobody can relax unless they've earned it? Like we turned calm into corporate capitalism. We even have productivity apps for meditation now. You can literally gamify inner peace. Congratulations, you've unlocked level 4 detachment. On to the next level. So, peace doesn't come from mastering life. It comes from realizing that life can't be mastered. And surrender doesn't necessarily mean giving up. It's just you finally stopping the world's most exhausting group project, controlling reality. And honestly, if life was a competition, you lost the day you were born, naked and crying into the void. So the older I get, the more I realize detachment isn't the end of love or meaning or ambition. It's the end of delusion. Because you still love, but you're not begging anymore. You still care and you still dream, but you don't collapse or stop trying to arm wrestle the universe into some kind of submission. And maybe that's what growing up really is. It's realizing that peace was never supposed to be earned. It was just sitting there the whole time, quietly judging you for overcomplicating everything. Everything you cling to will leave eventually. Whether it's people, things, places, memories, even this body you're sitting in pretending to be in control of. And I don't think that's necessarily tragic. It's just the price of admission for being here. And the awareness watching it all come and go, that's the only part that doesn't leave. And that's the part no one can touch. All right. That's all I've got today. As always, thanks for listening.